from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And it's Thursday. This is Russ Jones, producer of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's great to be with you. Well, the FBI is investigating yet another round of suspicious packages, one addressed to former Vice President Biden and the other to actor Robert De Niro. I believe that makes about 10 packages in total, and the bombs are packed with powder and broken glass. Investigators focus on leads in Florida. So many things going on that seem suspicious just in, you know, a few days running up into the midterms, and a lot going on that we could report about the midterms and some funny business down in Texas we're going to talk about tomorrow. But it didn't take the mainstream media very long to start blaming President Trump. Listen.
If you look at who they've targeted so far, it's almost like they're following Donald Trump's Twitter feed. And starting with Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
But Jake, certainly one question for the president, one question for the White House. Is the rhetoric, the intense rhetoric that he has been saying and his supporters have been giving out over these last several weeks leading into midterm elections, and certainly even before that, is that contributing to any of this?
The tone is coming from the top, and now CNN has become a target. Journalists that are simply trying to do their job.
Wouldn't it be nice if the journalists were truly doing their job and reporting the truth? Maybe too high expectations. And hundreds of U.S. troops are set to make their way to the southern border to help Homeland Security and the National Guard as a caravan with thousands of migrants pushes north with the goal of crossing into America. In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado. As we come down to the home stretch for the 2018 midterms, there is a great debate whether or not Republicans will hold a majority in the House. Many are concluding Republicans will hold the Senate, thanks for the Brett Kavanaugh escapade. And the question that begs to be answered, are polls being used as political weapons in the midterms? We found it hard to believe the polls were accurate 2 years ago. How can we believe them now? Many are asking that question. We'll talk with GOP strategist Ned Ryan. And a nation's stories tell the real story. Our headlines. Our country is in desperate need for a spiritual awakening. Warped beliefs battle for the hearts and minds of people, from rampant immorality to unbelief. Later in the program, we'll talk with Dr. Alex McFarland about an upcoming event in Baton Rouge entitled Save a Nation. And of course, we'll take your calls. All of this content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins, and you can follow me at R Jones Reports. Well, as several thousand Central Americans and Mexicans continue to march toward the United States in this migrant caravan, more questions are being asked about how the effort was brought together, who was behind it, what prompted the movement to this point just weeks before the critical U.S. elections. And in this move to rush the zone, so to speak, new efforts are underway to protect, to enact legislation to protect the southern border. With us now is Congressman Doug Lamborn. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Colorado, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee and co-sponsor of the Build the Wall, Enforce the Law Act of 2018. Congressman Lamborn, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hello, Russ. It's good to talk with you.
You know, before we get into this, I was reviewing your bio, and I was reminded that you used to live in Leavenworth, Kansas. I lived there and used to be a volunteer chaplain there at the federal penitentiary, and saw that your father was there. Is that right? Did I get that right?
That's exactly right. And ironically, now that I'm here in Colorado, I represent Canyon City and Florence, Colorado, which have about half a dozen federal prisons here in Colorado, like Supermax.
Yes, you've been representing Colorado there for some 20 years and went to University of Kansas. That's where my daughter went. Now, Congressman, I hate to say this, I went to Mizzou.
That's okay.
Okay. Well, hey, let's talk about this co-sponsoring bill that you've been involved with, Build the Wall, Enforce the Law Act, H.R. 7059.
Yeah, I applaud Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy for introducing this bill. And the bottom line is it appropriates $23.4 billion in funding to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. 16 or so billion of that is for constructing a wall along the southern border where needed, and 6.7 billion for supporting infrastructure, technology, and operations to also increase security. And the bill also addresses some like sanctuary cities that we need to get tough with, transnational gangs like MS-13, human trafficking, and the importation of deadly drugs like fentanyl. So it's a great border security measure. I'm proud to co-sponsor it, and I hope we can address it, and we need to address it during the lame duck session.
And you know, there's a lot of legislation and policy making that's actually going on. So many distractions, I'm sure you would agree, in the media, that they don't get to the real issues that are happening that make our country run. And with this caravan moving forward, this legislation is really important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the broken things in our immigration system, and unfortunately the Democrats do not want to address this. I think they're viewing illegal aliens as part of their voting base in the future, which to me, we need to put national security above politics. But if someone comes to this country and says, I am being persecuted, then they are in our country, then they're automatically given a court date months or years down the line, and they may or may not even show up for that. And how it's supposed to be done, Russ, is that you apply for asylum in where the country where you live. You go to the U.S. Embassy and say, hey, I'm being persecuted for my religious or political beliefs. I need to come to the United States or something bad's going to happen to me. And that's not what's happening with this caravan or army or mob or whatever we should call it. They want a better life. I can't blame them for that.
No.
But the things are miserable in their country, but that's not the same as what asylum laws were originally set up for. And when they come physically into our country and they get this court date months or years down the line, we also have the problem of what to do if they have children, if they have minors with them. Are those minors even really their own children? Unfortunately, there's been some cases of child trafficking going on, and that's hard to root out and discern the difference between legitimate and criminal violations there sometimes when people don't have good paperwork or documentation. And then when a parent is being detained, what do you do with the children? You know, humanitarily, we don't want the children to suffer, but we don't want to throw them in jail with the parents. No, that's not good. So how do we deal with the children? That's been a very thorny issue as well.
And you know, Congressman, correct me if I'm wrong, but this topic doesn't bid well in the polling. And it feels like there's a few things going on right now, just trying to take the focus off the midterms and the real policies that conservatives run on, how to make America better, how to make America stronger. And it just feels like there's things going on under the surface to distract, to these packages, these suspicious packages have now dominated the headlines for 48 hours. When we're seeing a caravan make its way up at least where I live, most of the folks are really concerned about that. And I would imagine your constituents believe the same thing. The American people, I think, in great part, want us to build a wall and to enforce the law. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, absolutely. I see that where I live here in Colorado, the Colorado Springs and the surrounding communities. People want our national security protected. And if you have an overwhelming army of 10 or 15,000 people, you know, it's up to 14,000 now is the latest mm-hmm. estimate. That's an affront to our sanctity, the sanctity of our borders and to our sovereignty as a nation, because they want to just overwhelm our resources and pile into our country. And at a minimum, we should insist that this be done in an orderly manner. We should insist that Mexico help us to control this situation. I applaud President Trump for wanting to stay on top of it. And also I applaud the fact that Secretary of Defense James Mattis is going to sign papers. It's It's in the news as early as today to send 800 or more troops to the border, not for military purposes, but to back up the border, border patrol and the security we have already in place, and to help with infrastructure and manpower.
And yes, you're on the House Armed Services Committee, which I believe some of this news would fall under as far as that goes. Of course, you know, the left thinks, oh my gosh, that's just showing so much might. But is that, I mean, that's why we have military forces. And with 14,000 congressmen, I've heard the term being used, that's more like an invasion, not a caravan, but that's an invasion to flood the zone. And we're reading and learning that a majority of these people are younger men. And it would seem to me, if I were trying to rebuild a nation, these are the folks that you'd want to stay in your country. And of course, we should feel good that we live in a nation where people want to come. And as Christians, you know, we want to see people succeed and thrive. And it just seems a little warped and distorted to me.
Well, you know, Russ, if you took a poll around the world, I would not be surprised if half the world were to say, hey, if I could come to the U.S. tomorrow, I would do that, compared to where they're living now. I mean, that's like 3 billion people out there that would come to our shores if they could. And so like you, we are the land of opportunity. We love our country. We have so much going for us. And people should want to be here, but they should do it by lawful means. Otherwise, we do have a breakdown of law and order, and that's not compassionate for the people involved, especially the children, when they get caught up in possible detention or waiting periods or limbo. The problems that they encounter as they come 1,000 or 2,000 miles through Mexico, if they make it here, you know, the hunger, the thirst, the disease, things like accidents. I mean, things are going to happen that are not really healthy either. So there's just so much wrong with this picture. I'm glad that the president is cracking down on it. Isn't it sad, Russ, that the press isn't even picking up on it? They've dropped this topic like a hot potato.
Yes, they have. And I would imagine you're out talking with your constituents. I think the conservative base is kind of ginned up, and maybe the Kavanaugh thing and the caravan has kind of waken up maybe a lion.
Absolutely. I mean, I think people are waking up. Yeah, there have been a lot of extreme leftist folks in this country that are angry at Donald Trump. They didn't think he could have or should have beaten Hillary Clinton, and they've never gotten over that. And we know they're going to turn out and vote out of anger or even hatred in some cases. But we need our people to turn out, too. Good people, good-hearted people, people of faith, they need to be involved, and I think they're waking up.
Congressman Lamborn of Colorado, thank you so much. We're out of time. You have a blessed weekend coming up here, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Always great to talk.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, coming up next, midterm madness. Are the polls being used as a political weapon? When we return, we'll explore that question with GOP strategist Ned Bryan. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. All of this great information can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins. You can follow me at RJonesReports. Don't go away.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at TheEvent2018.com. Again, visit TheEvent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women. From aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
You are listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. A pleasure to be with you here. You remember a couple of years ago, Donald Trump was running for president. One of the things that we saw were the polls that were being pushed by the mainstream media. And a lot of these polls were saying that Donald Trump didn't have a chance. And on Election Day, what did we learn? Wow, did we learn that those polls were not accurate? In many cases, not even close. And folks are beginning to wonder and question the same thing today. How can we believe the polls that we're hearing about the midterm elections? And oftentimes, this is what I've found after 40 years in the industry, you have to closely watch the pollster. Who is conducting the poll? What kinds of questions are being answered, asked? And what is the demographic of the poll that's being taken? Those are great barometers that tell us a lot about the polls. And what we learned about the polls in 2016 is that a lot of folks were not talking about who they were going to vote for because of the backlash that was coming when somebody said that they might be supporting Donald Trump. Well, we're seeing a lot of those same sorts of things today. People are being a lot more discreet about who they support because the fear of violence, the fear of social media, getting beat up on social media. I was at a political event yesterday, and it was kind of a similar sort of environment. People were quietly talking about who they support, who they don't support, but not really wanting to be very vocal and public about that support because the environment right now, the incivility is so strong that folks are afraid. And, you know, there's a saying in the political industry, whoever wins the battle of the political yard signs has a chance of winning that election, a better chance of winning the election. And even seeing people afraid to put out political signs because they don't want to they fear the retribution from their neighbors and people that might drive by. And all you have to do is turn on the news and see the kind of reactions that people have when they simply don't agree with who you might support. So it's a very disturbing time. And one of the things that that's out there right now, an article, polls are political weapons in the midterms. Ned Ryan has written this article. He's a GOP strategist and founder, CEO of American Majority. And he writes, as Nicholas Waddy recently showed at American Greatness, CNN's generic ballot showing Democrats up by 13 points made some outrageous assumptions to get to that number. Women voting for Democrats versus men by nearly double the historical trends. The over 65 vote swinging 26 points in Democrats' favor from 2016 until now. And that somehow the white vote will drop 21 points for House Republicans in a two-year time period. He goes on to write that those numbers are on the level of fraudulent. And these media outlets are basing all of their polling on the prediction that somehow we'll have the most historic changes in voting demographics ever, ignoring much of the data out there on previous elections and current energy levels for each party. They're really, really good insights on where we're at. And I do think that we are seeing people that have been enlivened and see the importance of voting. And we definitely have seen the importance of voting and how important that is to rise to the occasion and get out and vote. And the question is, why? Why would someone want to goose poll these numbers? Why not just report the numbers as accurately as possible? Why not act as a public barometer as assumed by many people? We're trying to get a hold of Ned Ryan, GOP strategist, to talk about this. And you know, the left might be organizing in the streets and, you know, storming the Supreme Court. But that doesn't mean that Republican voters won't show up when it counts in November. That's what we see. And we see a lot of young folks that are passionate about these issues. Will they get out and vote? And we're also seeing, with millennials on a positive note, their views on abortion are changing. I was having this conversation with someone at lunch today, that he's seeing his friends, and this is a young man in his 20s, becoming more pro-life, having a greater regard for the unborn. And a lot of times those kinds of numbers don't get reported. We don't see the results of those pollings as well. And I know many of you are charged up. We're seeing the advanced balloting reaching all-time highs in several of the key battleground states. And Republicans are actually outnumbering in some of these states the advanced voting. So if you plan to be traveling on Election Day, if you plan to be out of pocket, you need to... You need to try to be ready to vote in advance. So just giving you that heads up. We can't always believe the polling, and we're hearing about what's going on in these communities across the country. And the left will not stop at just anything. It's atrocious. Well, coming up next, simply read our nation's headlines and track the daily news. America's in serious need for a spiritual awakening. Awakening, a God-infused jolt. We'll talk with Dr. Alex McFarland about ways he's working to change the hearts and minds of, well, whoever will listen. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
It's Thursday. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm producer Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, in locations all across America, Truth for a New Generation is hosting events seeking to inspire, to empower, and mobilize youth and adults to defend their beliefs. And under the banner of Save a Nation, an event that will be held October 26th, and 27th at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's the church, by the way, that Tony Perkins was interim pastor for a season here recently. Well, with us now is Dr. Alex McFarland. He's a Christian speaker, Christian writer, and a Christian apologist, and founder of Truth for a New Generation. Dr. McFarland, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much. It's always an honor to be on this show that I respect greatly. So thank you for having me.
So tell us, how are these events going? You're gearing up for a big one. You might even be on the road now, headed to Baton Rouge, but how is it shaping up, and what's on the platform?
Oh, well, thanks. Well, you know, like yourselves and like Tony Perkins, you know, we care about the future of this country. And TNG was started years ago. I was a youth pastor. We, in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, we would bring speakers in, like, you know, Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel and different ones. And more than ever, we believe that the future of the country depends on Christianity. And we're trying to win the lost and equip the saved. And it's for all ages. We're going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, tonight through Saturday night. We've got a prayer meeting. It's going to begin at 6:30. And in fact, if anybody's listening, you know, you can go to the website, truthforanewgeneration.com, and join us tonight as we pray for America. And then tomorrow and Saturday, the conference, you know, we're talking about things like, you know, how do we know God exists? And what is the connection between God and morality? And we're talking about, you know, the Bible. How do we know the Bible is true? What about the problem of pain and suffering? But we're also talking about civic involvement, you know, because young people ask the question, you know, if I'm a Christian, my home is in heaven, you know, why vote? Why be politically engaged if you know, this world is not my home? So we talk a lot about the calling, and it really is a calling on incumbent on every Christian to be salt and light in this world. And so it's kind of a TNG, Truth for New Generation, is an event where we speak to issues of God and country.
Alex, address this for a minute. A lot of times we report or we hear the negative stories about millennials and whatnot, and I've been trying to maybe reshape my thinking. You know, there's a lot that the two generations can learn from one another, and you get to see a lot of these younger folks at these events, and maybe give us some insights into that mind and where they're at today.
Great question. Well, you know, millennials are generally about 30 and younger, and, you know, coming along after millennials are, sociologists talk about, you know, Gen Z, and what comes after the last letter of the alphabet? Well, nothing. And so part of the reason that some sociologists are, you know, that they're reluctant to label kids that are, you know, going to be graduating high school in, say, 12 to 15 years, because we just don't know what it's going to look like. Our nation has been so radically changing. You know, our abandonment of morality, our abandonment of belief in absolute truth and objective morality is having repercussions that I think go beyond what anybody could have imagined even, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. The good news about young people, they've got a good ethic to serve. You know, when I first went into youth ministry 25 years ago, it was a tough sell to get young people to go on a mission trip to, like, you know, the slums of South America to wash people's hair. But, you know, a couple of years ago we did. We took 600 kids to Lima, Peru, and we shared the gospel. But we were literally washing the hair of people in the slums, and kids don't mind doing that nowadays. The good news about millennials and younger, they've got a real heart to serve. They want to make a difference. Part of the challenge is, though, that unless they have gone to a solidly Christian school, K through 12, or been homeschooled or classical education, unless they go to a solidly Christian college, so many millennials and younger have had relativism just pumped into them. In the classroom, they get relativism. And then in the media, they get hedonism. So even kids that maybe have been in a youth group or made a profession of faith, I mean, you've got to understand, they've just been conditioned to believe that there is no truth, we make our own truth, and then the ultimate good of life, the summum bonum, is pleasure. And right. So we've got to help them understand the goal of life is to know God and make Him known, and there is truth.
Dr. McFarland, thank you so much, and we have all this information on TonyPerkins.com, and pray that you have a blessed event this weekend, and we'll push people out as best we can.
God bless you. Thanks for the great work you all do.
All right. God bless you, too. Hey, next up, let's take your calls, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. What are you doing to connect with the younger generation? You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet Values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
On Sunday, November 4th, join millions of Americans who are pledging to pray, vote, and stand for our nation. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. Hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, and others broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. Go to theevent2018.com for more information and to tune into the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Round and third, heading towards home. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. It's Thursday. How y'all doing? Good to be along with you here today. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. What are you doing to connect with the younger generation? You know, I've been kind of compelled lately and convicted about this intentionality and not just simply allowing headlines and whatnot to define an entire generation and maybe look for the opportunities to mentor and to reach out to... Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kansas and talk with Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. Dr. Alex McFarland, I only get to hear and speak on the radio every day on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio at 3 p.m. with Pastor Bert Harper. But if I could ever go listen to him in person, I would go, because I recommend everybody to listen to that program. They will hear someone that makes you feel like you're sitting right there in the room with them, giving out love to everybody. And I just, when I hear his voice, I know I want to hear what he has to say on the show that he's being a guest on. So I'm glad you brought somebody on that is showing love and support to everybody. It was just so nice to hear. And I thank you. I thank you guys for all you do to bring us up to date on everything. But it was just a blessing to hear Dr. Alex on the radio. He's just very beautiful person.
He's the real deal, isn't he? And you know, these events, they're just the tip of the iceberg. But if an event like that can push forward the opportunity to talk and dialogue, and you know, Mary, I get... It's overwhelming sometimes when you see the headlines today and what's going on. And just even in, you know, I grew up in a time where my barometer of when it was okay, when it was time to go inside, was the street lights on the street when they went on, and drinking from a water hose outside and actually engaging and playing with folks and kids in the neighborhood, and where we sat down and had a mealtime together. And Mary, I don't know if you know, just some of those basic things have changed so much. And you know, I think maybe that's why I enjoy watching the Andy Griffith Show, because it may not be realistic, but embraces a community where people know each other, and at least a time where maybe we still had some of those basic courtesies.
Oh, yes, and he also takes questions at the end of each program. If you have a Bible question or want to give a testimony or just want prayer, they are there for you. And I can tell the real thing and the fake, and he is the real thing. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you too, Mary. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Would love to hear from you. Let's connect. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We were talking about the upcoming event in Baton Rouge, Save the Nation. And my question was, what are you doing, if anything, to intentionally connect with the younger generation? Maybe it's your grandkids. How are you talking about things that were important to you, and how are you, what are you doing to try to understand their worldview and where they're coming from? Let's go to North Dakota and talk with Dwight. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, Russ. Avid listener, frequent caller. Hope you haven't gotten tired of hearing from me yet.
No, welcome.
I had a comment about the pipe bomb packages that are being sent out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't consider myself to be a conspiracy theorist, and I tend to shut out arguments that go along those lines, but I have noticed a couple of things about this situation, actually many things, but a couple of them really stand out to me. The first one is that we were told early on that there was a package, I don't know where it was, that was sent for Joe Biden. How did we know that the a package that we hadn't found was headed for Joe Biden when we didn't know who sent them? I think that the media grabbed this just a little too quickly and went. But the other big thing that I noticed was that we were told that these packages were covered in stamps for postage that had not been canceled or postmarked. Now, I'm a highway contract driver for the Postal Service, and I get mail that they put in a tub and they label it anonymous mail. This is mail that has not been processed properly through the postal system and has to be returned to the point of origin to be handled properly, because after you get past a certain size of mail, you must give the mail to the clerk at the desk and have it hand canceled with their postmark. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you know, you can have one, maybe two packages that go through the system, slip through without being returned to their origin point and handled properly. But 10? That,
yeah.
You know, to me, this smacks of a desperate leftist attempt to throw some mud and try to bring back their dying blue wave that they wanted for November.
Right. Well, Dwight, I would venture to say you're probably not alone. You're probably connecting with some folks that are kind of questioning. I'll just put it this way. Some are suspicious about suspicious packages. They just had a press conference, and we didn't learn anything yet. We didn't learn anything new. This powder is not a harmful powder. Broken glass inside the packages, but apparently they weren't set up to detonate. These are just some of the things we've learned. But it does feel like that momentum was swinging with the Republican Party, like you said, blue wave, maybe not so blue. So it does cause people to scratch their head a little bit, Dwight. So I appreciate you calling from North Dakota, and thanks for your good insights there. Let's go to Joseph in Kansas and give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, Russ. I just had a couple comments, and I wanted to thank you for you and Tony for what you guys do over there.
Thank you.
I just thinking about this. You know, if you just use your common sense, I mean, I think the package situation is all political. and look at the timing of it, and look at also the timing of this caravan.
Right.
I think it's all political. I think it's very clear with anybody with any common sense that if you look at the timing of it, you know who's behind it. And, you know, and it could be just they want to distract the American public. Another thing that was my concern is, has the Republican Party set up any safeguards so there's not any voter fraud in the midterms? Do you know anything about that?
Well, the voter fraud, you know, that's an ongoing debate. You know, there are folks that say, hey, voter ID, you need to have an ID to vote. And, you know, of course, the left is, oh, that's oppressive. That's, you're discriminating against people. And it's really amazing. You've got to have an ID just about to do anything, to get a cell phone, to get utilities. And it would just make common sense that, you know, I show them my ID, even though they don't need it. Oh, we don't need that. Oh, no, 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 you don't understand. I want you to see my ID and that I am who yeah. I am. I kind of force the issue on them.
And I heard in California they're just handing out driver's licenses just so that people can vote. I think if the Republican Party hasn't set up any safeguards, they need to because of voter fraud. But then one other thing I wanted to touch on, too, was I think as far as this caravan, obviously the money that that our government is giving to those countries, Honduras and those different countries down there, they're not using that money for their people. That's the problem.
Right.
That's
right.
The source. So because of that, that's why the people are up in arms. If they earn, you know, earn a dollar a day or something. So I think that has to be addressed, and I think if our government would just tell them, look, if you don't stop your people from coming to our border, we will not give you any more money. I will guarantee that's going to be a factor. And if they still don't, I think the solution is the U.S. has to address this before they get to our border.
Right. And just, Very good insights, Joseph. We got a lot of folks here on hold, and I appreciate your insights. And what would happen if we took these budgets and went into these countries and actually set up systems and opportunities and programs to help employ and to educate and to change infrastructures? That would be an interesting approach as well. Let's go to Marjorie in Kansas. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Ross. And listen, I want to ask you to please not apologize for going to Mizzou, because I did too.
Oh, M-I-Z.
Yep. A few years before you, probably. Hey, my precious thought for the day is that I am working with millennials, and I'm 77, and they are so super. And the Lord laid it on my heart the beginning of January that this I was to drop the Bible studies with other women that are kind of my age group. I was to target millennials. I've been working with a young lady now, and she's like a new believer shot out of a cannon, and we're doing Bible study together. The Lord also gave me two guys. Both of them were in their mid-20s. I argued with him about that, and I said, no, this old lady doesn't need two guys. They need men. But these guys really open up to me, and we talk about a lot of things, and I get them into the Word, and, you know, that's what they need. That's what they want. They just need someone to listen to them and help them to get started on reading the Scripture for themselves.
How exciting is that, Marjorie? And I appreciate you calling to share that story. So are you finding that you have more things in common than not?
I don't know that I have so many things in common, but I sure find I have an awful lot of love coming from these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I make Sunday dinner for the two guys, and I tell them that at 3:30 I need to really have a nap, and they say, you're telling us that we need to leave? But, no, just pulling them into the Scripture and sharing that with them and suggesting books and talking to them about their dating life, I don't have a lot in common with that part, but anyway.
No, but you know, a lot of times, I found just the God's goodness and creation in us sometimes is a connecting point. I think we just lost her. But Marjorie, thanks for sharing that. Let's go to Lisa in Texas. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Russ. I just wanted to kind of, I had an idea, and it's regarding this caravan. And as I heard Dr. McFarland talk about these, you know, just how full of life and passion all of these millennial age students are, I mean, think about how many churches have mission programs where they send students or even American countries. What if every single one of these churches went to the border with this caravan, adopted a family or a town, and committed to go back to their town to help make their life better and share with them at the same time?
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. It's kind of what I was, I mentioned that just a little while ago, what would happen if we took these resources and funds, you know, if you, when you really talk to some of these people, a lot of them would just, would prefer to stay in their home nation if it was just a better place. And maybe that's too monumental, but aren't, you know, all things possible in God? And I would think that, you know, putting those energies back into some of these nations and these funds into these nations rather than the United States being that saving place, taking God's love and God's resources into some of these communities. And that's what I hear you saying, Lisa. Okay, we lost Lisa. Give us a call. We got time for one more call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And you know, the images we're seeing in this caravan are, you know, these are young guys, but the media serves up women and children. But the reality is we see a lot of young, strong men coming to the United States planning to demand employment. And it will really be interesting to see where this all lands out. If we have troops going down to the border and what happens when they get to the border. So we'll need to be praying for this situation and just lift up now. Father God, we pray for our nation. We pray for these people that are making their way through Mexico and Central America, Father God. And we do lift up these young folks that are around us. And Father, just help us, like Marjorie, help us connect with younger generations and to build meaningful relationships where we can breathe life and mentoring into these folks and receive what they have to offer as well, Father God. And we do pray for healing. We pray for just civility in our talk, in our relationships with one another, Father God. And we just love you so very much. And folks, if you're listening, God loves you so very, very much. And he knows the paths of your life and where you need to go. And Father, just open our eyes. May we be light in darkness in these coming days. Well, friends, Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Father God, thank you for this show and thank you for our listeners. And friends, the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.